Hello and welcome to the Goalkeepers Union podcast. Between the sticks, me, Matt Beadle, here with the vacationing voice of goalkeeping, Richard Lee.
Good morning, Matthew.
Morning, Richard. Vacationing, you're away again, I believe.
The word again is, you didn't need to highlight that necessarily, because yes, I have been away mostly for work-related reasons, of course, recently, but this is an official vacation. This I've had in the diary for about a year, and I have penciled it off as very much a vacation, 5 days, actually, of vacation, lots of golf. I'm not particularly good at golf, but trying my best. In fact, just played a game of golf this morning. But of course, it is in the diary. We do the podcast every single week without fail. However, it might be a little bit shorter this week. Is that okay, Matthew?
That's fine, mate. Yes, I like the fact you say this one was in the diary a good, year ahead of schedule. But in that year, you've just had a few impromptu holiday slash work breaks instead, have you? Is that what you're putting them down as?
Definitely more work-related, I would suggest. I can sense that you are a little bit sceptical as to whether that's the truth, but I'm letting you know it was very much work. This, though, is a vacation. However, there were a few things this week that I felt we just had to talk about. I mean, of course, we do this regardless every week. It is very much in the diary every single week. But there have been a few interesting things of note, obviously some performances of note, a few things said in the press. So there's quite a bit we want to touch on this week.
Good, Matt. I like your commitment. It's very good. It's admirable.
You are more than welcome, Matthew.
On with the show.
Let's do it.
Okay, we shall start in the Premier League as always. Watford 4 and Manchester United 1. And Richard, please, can you confirm to me what this sound is?
That is the klaxon. That, of course, does mean there has been an assist. And indeed, there was one at Vicarage Road.
There was. It is the goalkeeper assist klaxon. Good to know you're paying attention, mate. It's good to know.
Yeah, no, I do actually listen to the show from time. It's really good. It's really good. You surprised me. We're actually a lot better than I thought we were.
So Ben Foster, your old buddy, old pal, with an assist for Emmanuel Dennis in the 96th minute at Vicarage Road. Watford 4, Manchester United 1. Let's talk about that first before we get onto anything else.
Let's do that indeed. And it's a good kick. Look, it's another one of these, and I know we've had a similar one previously that I think we spoke about, where, don't get me wrong, an assist is an assist. I don't think I ever had an assist, so maybe this again is just jealousy, but it was effectively a big punt downfield, which was missed by everyone. Terrible defending, which has ended up in a goal. So, look, don't take this the wrong way. Of course, I'm absolutely delighted for him. An assist is an assist. But I'm a little bit sceptical as to whether when it was leaving his hands, he's thinking, this is going to be an assist.
Doesn't matter though, does it? Doesn't matter. By the way, I like the fact that sometimes you say, it was a good kick. Good kick out, sir. Well done. Well,
that's kind of it. It was a good kick. It was a really good punt. But it wasn't, let me think of another one. Like Edison, you might remember this one. Edisfield against Huddersfield a couple of years ago. Aguero then scores. That's a different type of assist. That was all of a sudden, he saw the defence was sleeping. He's gone over the top, like fired a ball over the top to put Aguero in one-on-one. And that's obviously a very different type of assist to this. But again, credit to Ben, it was a lovely kick.
Why are you taking it away from him, mate?
It sounds like I'm hating. I do appreciate that. But no, I'm not. Do you know what? Let me scrap what I've just said. Excellent ball upfield, put it into a great area, and that has allowed the outfield player to run onto it and score.
Better from you, okay?
Thank you.
Right, David De Gea, let's get on to him because he came out after the game, didn't he, and said, it was embarrassing, it's another nightmare, it's hard to be in the dressing room now, we're sad, we're angry. Personally, I'm hurt. It's a very difficult moment for the club. Now, as we know, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer was sacked, relieved of his duties after this game. Let's talk about David De Gea's performance, shall we?
Yes, let's. It was a bit mixed for me, I have to say. I thought that, of course, good two penalty saves, effectively. I know one did end up as a goal, but then, of course, retaken. But it is interesting how he went so long, and this obviously was highlighted on the analysis itself, that he did go so long. And then all of a sudden, he seems to have that better confidence now. When he's facing a penalty, he does look like he feels he can save it, you know, and certainly with both making the initial save, very, very good. And certainly the second save, I love the way in which he adapted his body, got his hand to where it needed to be in order to keep it out and parry it into a good area. I thought it was very, very good. I do think he'll be a little bit frustrated, certainly with the goal on the angle, didn't quite sort his feet out. Similarly, didn't quite sort his feet out on the cutback. You know, it wasn't all that long ago that we saw that save he made against Liverpool that you could argue was similar in that he turned, and on that occasion turned his foot out to make an excellent save. On this one, seemingly got a bit muddled almost, and it was a very strange technique that he tried to use in order to keep it out. I wouldn't necessarily say that was a mistake, because I think from that close in, you're not expected to save it, but certainly the technique that he went with, he made it very, very difficult in order to make the save. And the only other thing I was going to point out was the header from about 8-10 yards that he decided to parry out, and I just felt that was one of those moments, and goalkeepers listening in, they'll certainly be able to relate to this, where he'd almost made the decision to parry before the ball started coming to him, I felt. You know, he was very tense in that moment. Don't get me wrong, got a good parry away, got a good 15 yards, but that did lead to a follow-up shot which went wide, which of course could have gone in. So yeah, I'm sure with that one, if he were to watch it again, he'd probably feel that he could hold that initial ball.
That cutback one, the first goal scored by Josh King. We obviously hate the term wrong hand. I was almost waiting for someone to say he went with the wrong foot on that one, because he almost went with the outside of his foot, didn't he? There's a couple of things that I just wanted to pick up on here, because the second goal, I think it was, Jonathan Pearce was the commentator on Match of the Day. Could the goalkeeper have done better there? The shot was across him. I thought that was a bit of a strange thing to say, because he then said the shot was too close to him on his near side for that goal. I think it was Joao Pedro, it was him, wasn't it? The third goal. So what do you want from a goalkeeper? But also, I was on my way home on Sunday evening, so I also went away this weekend, Richard, to Paris for a quick 24 hours. So it's not only you that can take holidays, believe it or not.
Living the life, aren't you, Just?
Not quite. But I was on my way home. I hadn't seen any of the action, only saw the action on Sunday night. So I thought, do you know what? I'm going to catch up on a bit on my drive from Heathrow to home. And I thought I would listen to Gary Neville, because regardless of what we think of him to do with goalkeeping, when he speaks about other topics within football, of course, he is very knowledgeable about those, especially Manchester United. And I heard that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer had been sacked, so I thought, I'll listen to Gary Neville to see what he's saying on the situation. Now, the game itself, United were all over the hockey defensively, again, absolutely. But Gary Neville, in his podcast, when talking about Ole Gunnar Solskjaer and then alluding to the game against Watford, said, De Gea's thrown a couple in. And I thought, ooh, he's had one, De Gea, then. He's not had a very good game. Even though it was Gary Neville, I was thinking he must not have had a very good game. I got back in and watched the highlights and thought, what are you talking about? Like you've just described there, okay, maybe he could have done something different for a couple of the goals. But to say he's thrown a couple in, that's an absolute disgrace. Now, we talk about punditry and analysis that is inaccurate, and that's fine. But this type of comment, I think more so, is what needs to be stamped out, because these are the narrative builders. De Gea's thrown a couple in. So anyone who hasn't seen that game and won't actually get to see the highlights has suddenly got an image of David De Gea literally throwing balls into his net, thinking he's had one again. It's outrageous. He did not throw a couple in. Bonkers. Ludicrous.
I agree entirely. 100%. Couldn't have put it better myself, Matthew, if I'm honest. I think you're bang on. No, because you are. The thing is, it's such a flippant throwaway comment. That's the problem. And it's, by the way, it is a comment that we hear over and over. How often do we hear someone describe a goalkeeper's performance in that way? And actually, if you were to look at it logically and you were to break it down in terms of, as I say, for me, a mixed bag, but in that mixed bag, there were the penalty saves. It was a very good save to his left-hand side as well later on in the game. Certainly no chance on two of them. The other two, as I say, he might have done something different, but I think even those, it wasn't like he's fumbled the ball or he's made a basic error. They're just moments that you look at and feel, oh, do you know what, on another day you might have done this. For instance, the one that did kind of go through him didn't quite sort his feet out. And one of the reasons we're actually touching on that is the fact that David De Gea is so good at making saves with his feet. So it's quite unusual for him to get a bit muddled like that. And similarly, the one that came across. But certainly to say they're his fault, well, no, of course, there's so much more that, I mean, there was so much more that happened in the game to actually then blame the goalkeeper when Watford was so dominant on the day, and it could have been more. Yeah, it is ludicrous. But I think that's also, as I say, they're those throwaway comments. Obviously, he was frustrated in the moment. Gary Neville, no doubt, was frustrated given that things haven't worked out for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. United are in a poor vein of form, not dominating games. So then to put it back on the goalkeeper, especially when I do think that David De Gea has probably been their star performer, or certainly top three, yeah, I think that's very unfair.
While we are on Gary Neville, of course, comments he made about Loris Karius a few years ago have resurfaced in the media, because he was obviously asked the question about whether he's ever overstepped the mark when analysing a player. And he said it was the game between Liverpool and Bournemouth, I think, quite a few years ago where Liverpool were 3-1 up and then lost 4-3. And he said that it's tough to win the league without a good goalkeeper. He's not good enough, that goalkeeper. He looks nervous and he isn't good enough. So he's come out and said, I probably overstepped the mark when I said this. But I thought it was interesting when you read more of the quotes, because he said he was sorry. He said it was the wrong thing to say. And then said, looking back, by the way, I was right. I was obviously right because they bought Virgil van Dijk and they won the Premier League. So I was right, but I regret it.
Yeah, just ridiculous comments. Just, yeah. But the thing is, there's been so many. Like I say, there's been a couple of interesting articles this week that we thought we'd highlight. And that was one. It's just a very strange apology because it's not really an apology, you know. And if anything, you've said it there earlier, like in terms of building narratives, you know, no doubt we're going to talk about Aaron Ramsdale shortly. And it's fair to say that at the moment, the narrative is so positive that surrounds him, and everything that's coming out about him at the moment is suggesting that he's going to be the next England goalkeeper, and he can't put a foot wrong at the moment. Yet the likes of a David De Gea, I bring up Hugo Lloris a lot because I think despite countless very good performances, there's still question marks over him from a lot of people in the media. And unfortunately, Gary Neville is in a really powerful position. So you have got, to an extent, if he likes you, he can help guide the thoughts and minds of so many young aspiring goalkeepers, young football fans, because of course people do believe what they hear, and when it comes from a voice of authority in the shape of a Gary Neville, that will have an impact.
That's all you need, mate. You need Gary Neville to like you. Okay, work on that.
Absolutely.
Don't think he should ever listen to this podcast, because he won't be liking you if he does.
No, very true, very true. Yeah.
You mentioned Aaron Ramsdale there. From one Sky Sports pundit to another, Jamie Carragher has spoken out about Aaron Ramsdale, hasn't he, this week, and said, the keeper, I mean, if I've ever been more wrong about a player than Aaron Ramsdale, I don't know which one it is yet. This was before the game with Liverpool, Liverpool 4, Arsenal 0, and an indifferent evening for him, I think. The spill from Thiago, a good recovery on that one, a good save from Mo Salah. Should have probably saved the opener from Sadio Mane. He denied Diogo Jota with a save coming back across himself and then chose not to come out for the fourth, or the third, sorry, which some questioned. Your opinion on his performance, please.
Yeah, well, interestingly, you say that. Yeah, a lot of the things that I read after the game were giving him eights and nines in the paper and saying that he was the standout performer again. And again, I think with what we do here, that we try and look at it as objectively as possible. And I think even Aaron Ramsdale himself has come out and said that he felt he could have done a little bit more with the first. You know, you could see what he was trying to do. He was trying to catch it on the bounce and flick it round the post. And he's just mistimed it ever so slightly. And of course, it's ended up in the corner. I think there was also another one that he spilled out in front of him, which had that have ended in a goal, I'm sure, you know, he would have been frustrated with that one. But then also you have got a couple of fantastic saves in there. Certainly the save towards the end, he's moving to his left, gets himself in a very good position, able to react well back to his left-hand side and get the ball round the post. And there was a couple of other very good saves in there as well. And he's still playing with that real positive energy. So I'm really enjoying watching him play. Some of the distribution I thought was excellent. Again, there was a couple in particular out to the left wing that I thought was very, very good. But it was just interesting. I thought I'd make a point of reading some of the stuff afterwards. So for me, and it'd be interesting actually to ask Aaron himself, what do you think that performance was? My guess is he'll probably say it was all right. You know, it was okay in that I made a couple of fantastic saves, maybe could have done a bit more here and here. You know, that was good, that wasn't. Probably give himself a seven. Yeah, I'm seeing eights and nines again in the paper, which, look, there's nothing wrong with this in the fact that it will at some point turn. And it might turn in a way that has nothing to do with him, just because it turns. You know, it's very much the media that we have where they build you up to knock you down. And similarly, when things aren't going so well, everyone loves a comeback, you know, someone to come back and be the hero. Like Aaron Ramsdale's seen it himself. You know, it wasn't so long ago when he was getting pelters from the paper. And now all of a sudden he is very much England goalkeeper in waiting. You know, so it's just so interesting how the narrative can shift. And things like this column that we've seen with Jamie Carragher, again, that's only going to add more fuel to this positive flame at the moment. It'll be really interesting to see if we're still sat here in 6 months' time and the narrative is still exactly the same, or whether it shifted again. I hope it's the same. But again, having seen it so many times before, having seen how the media operate, this is almost what they do. You know, they'll really big someone up in the way they're doing with Aaron Ramsdale at the moment. But the first opportunity to knock him down, my guess is that they'll take it.
Let's hope not. Did make his England debut, of course. That was last week in the 10-0 mauling of San Marino. So a good game to come into. There was a funny moment in that game as well. I don't know whether you saw it in the Liverpool-Arsenal game, where it was the save from Mo Salah, I think, and Nuno Tavares went to celebrate with him and gave him an almighty pat on the back. Ramsdale was like, ow. Ow, that hurts. Don't do that again. Aston Villa 2, Brighton 0. And Jason Steele with his Premier League debut at the age of 31. Three good saves in this one. Probably would have been man of the match had it stayed at 0-0. But sadly for Brighton, it did not.
Really pleased for him. Really pleased for him. And do you know what? This for me is a great example how a change of scenery can sometimes make the world a difference, you know, because it's fair to say that he had a tough time at Sunderland, you know, and certainly a lot of goalkeepers have had a tough time at Sunderland. It's a tough place for a goalkeeper to play. But since being at Brighton, the games he has played, the cup games he's played, he's done very well. I know he works very closely, obviously, with goalkeeper coach Ben Roberts at Brighton. And in this game in particular, I thought to make your Premier League debut, to step in for Robert Sanchez, not an easy thing to do. You're going to feel an amount of pressure in stepping into his shoes. Always tough, Premier League debut, 31 years old, and to come in and play the way that he did, massive, massive credit. Really sharp save down low to his left. And it was interesting for me, the save that he then made to his left and the save he made to his right. Real similarities with both, in that he's got a firm hand to both. He's then parried into, I would argue, a very good area. Not necessarily a typical area or a textbook area, but he's had the awareness of who is around him and where is a good position or a good place to try and put the ball, if that makes sense. So he's kind of almost got a claw around it and really parried it back out in order to get it safe. And on both occasions was successful in doing so. But no, he looked good. His body language looked good. He looked strong. He looks fit. And credit to him, because as I say, he did have such a tough time at Sunderland to now be playing in the Premier League, playing to the level that he is. Credit to him. Credit to the goalkeeping team at Brighton.
Good save from Emi Martinez in that game too, by the way, rushing out to thwart Tariq Lamptey. I thought it's worth mentioning because I thought this, for me, was one of the saves of the weekend.
Yeah, likewise. I think the bravery for me. Do you know what's that moment? And again, goalkeepers will relate to this. The moment that you see the ball there, it's free, and there is no thought of your personal safety. All you're thinking is get to that ball as quick as you can. The moment you get there, the moment, the point of impact, how big can you make yourself? And the way in which he just throws himself into this. And this is a 6'5" guy that's running at pace, throws himself into this, just makes a really brave save. So, likewise, I love this.
Just a few more bits to clear up in the Premier League. Burnley 3, Crystal Palace 3. Now, two saves in this one near the end of the game. The Nick Pope save from the Wilfried Zaha volley. Now, this wasn't referenced at all. I'm pretty sure the referee gave a corner. So it was a quite phenomenal save from Nick Pope. And then copied by Vicente Guaita. Matty Vidra threw late on. But a good save from Guaita. Not the best contact from Vidra. But who cares? Good save. Both managers also commenting on the fact that it was a very good save.
It was a very good save, more for the fact that it was in such a key moment. You know, being at the end of the game as it was, score at 3-3. You know, in that moment, it's interesting as to what you will feel as a goalkeeper. You know, are you the type of goalkeeper that's very aware that you're in the last minute of the game, you're drawing the game 3-3 and it's a 1-1? If you are, it might be that little bit more difficult to execute the skill effectively in the moment that you need to. And this comes back to the quote that we talk about a lot, the big saves. Who makes the big saves? Well, this is a big save. This is a point-winning save, effectively. As you say, wasn't the best finish, but he did need to get down quick, did need to get enough of a hand to it to get it around the post, and he executed it perfectly in the moment when it matters. So huge credit to him. And as you mentioned, great save from Nick Pope. Thought he got a good punch to the corner, but it was the speed at which he got himself back into position, got set, and then the reaction to get fingertips onto the bar and over. And as you mentioned, unfortunately wasn't mentioned by the commentary team, but of course is very much mentioned by GKU podcast.
It absolutely is, Richard. Yes, Norwich 2, Southampton 1. Alex McCarthy for the two Norwich goals scored by Timu Pukki and Grant Hanley. He did make a decent stop in the second half. That was deflected off Jan Bednarek, as did Tim Krul with a save from Shea Adams on his near side. Got down well.
Yeah, I think a tough afternoon for Alex McCarthy. And again, we're talking fine margins. Certainly the header at the near post, he's arguably marginally out of position, but we're only talking a foot or so. And I think if he is a foot further towards his near post, then he might be able to get a hand to it and parry it round the post. But by being just that little bit too central, wasn't quite able to get back. And then a tricky one, the one that's headed down, he's just misjudged the bounce that little bit and wasn't able to get it round the post. And again, we're talking fine margins, but I've got no doubt that he'll look at both of them and just be a little bit frustrated by both.
Okay, and lastly, Brentford 3, Newcastle 3. Ivan Toney, the equaliser, which seemed to go through Cole Darlow slightly. Alan Shearer, his analysis after the game, he seemed to think that Darlow looked nervous. I'm unconvinced by that. I thought he was okay. Yes, the goal he should have saved, the first goal from Toney, and a good bit of distribution as well for the third Newcastle goal too.
Yeah, they were strange comments. I mean, he even commented on the one-on-one, didn't he, where he came out and seemingly did more than enough in order to clear the ball, yet he had a pop at him for that, saying that he should have come with his hands as well, which, look, maybe he should, but ultimately it's a one-on-one situation. Sometimes goalkeepers do prefer to get there quicker with their feet. So
he's done his job as well. He's done his job there, right? That goes back to the Peter Schmeichel podcast that we did where he said, I'm fed up of hearing people say it's an unorthodox save. If he saved it or he's kept the ball out or he's got it out of danger, doesn't matter. Why is there any rule as to what a goalkeeper should or shouldn't do?
No, that's exactly my thought. And that's why I couldn't help but feel there was a little bit more behind it. You know, it felt like he's obviously not a fan of Cole Darlow. I'm not too sure, but it didn't really seem. You'd have thought in that moment he may have credited him for the fact that he made the save. Look, of course, if you go with your hands, you're able to hold it. That is a better scenario, but still, it's a one-on-one situation. He's done well to come out. He's reasonably brave in order to get the contacts on the ball that he's got. So there is positives to what he's done, yet Alan Shearer in that moment decided to find a negative. And yeah, certainly on the goal, look, it's a technical error. The ball's just outside the line. In hindsight, should have turned the hands, collapsed if he could and looked to make the save that way. But we've all had it, that one where you go to do the pickup, you soon realise it's drifting outside the line and you have no barrier behind you to make the save. It's an error that we've seen many, many times, and we'll see many times again. But I think it's so easy again for a pundit to sit there and, as we've mentioned so many times, and not necessarily break down the technique, but just to label it a very, very bad error. And then on the back of that, to then find other things that they can also fault when they aren't necessarily there.
Okay, a quick question to finish before we move on, Richard, for you. And that is, can you name the Premier League goalkeeper who has created more chances than any other so far this season?
Well, you see, I would obviously think it was Edison. That would be the obvious choice, but you're going to tell me it's not.
It's not, no.
Go on.
Jose Sarr of Wolves.
Wow, okay. I did not know that.
Interesting, isn't it? There's a really good article today, actually, written by Adam Bate on Sky Sports, which I was having a good look at before we did the podcast. And it's on Jose Sarr and how he has made quite the impact at Molineux, which has kind of gone under the radar slightly. Interestingly, he's created more chances than any other goalkeeper in the Premier League this season. Rui Patricio, his predecessor, of course, no creating of chances in his entire career at Wolves, no assists whatsoever. Sarr also is second on the goals prevented based on expected goals this season.
Very good.
One behind Edouard Mendy. And if you were to look at those for the past 5 years, from 2018 to 2021, who do you think is top of that table? Goals prevented based on expected goals. 50 games minimum.
Tough. I know there was a season that David De Gea was very, very high, but I would guess after the last couple of seasons he's fallen down. Let me think. Is it Dubravka?
No, Dubravka is slightly midway.
Go on then. Who?
With 18.87, way out in front, Hugo Lloris.
Do you know, that doesn't surprise me massively. I think he's one of these, and I mentioned it many times, where I still feel that he doesn't get the respect. Maybe that's the word, the respect that he deserves. I think he is so, so good. I know it's very easy to point and mention certain errors that have been made and what have you, but I think in terms of consistency and the job that he does for Spurs, I think he's been consistently excellent for so long now. So actually, that doesn't really surprise me at all.
It is the EFL rundown today, Richard. Not just the Championship, but League One and League Two too, because you're in a rush and we're going to just quickly whiz through these. So Marek Rodak tipped over Amol Palmer drive in Fulham's battering of Barnsley. That was goalless at the time. 7 wins on the bounce of Fulham since he regained his spot as number one. Quite the run of form he is on. Di Cornell with a cracking double save from James Chester in what was a defeat for Peterborough away at Stoke, but still good saves from him. Thomas Kaminski, a late stop from Naki Wells to help save a point for Blackburn against Bristol City. Nathan Baxter from Scott Hogan when he was clean through. That was Hull against Birmingham. Successive wins and successive clean sheets for the Tigers since Baxter replaced Matty Ingram. And Si Moore, now of Coventry, really good reactions against his old club, Sheffield United, to deny Morgan Gibbs-White a late winner.
Yeah, several great saves there, certainly. I just wanted to mention the Si Moore one in particular. I thought it was a really good save. And a goalkeeper that's not had much game time in the past few years, obviously with Sheffield United, doing a great job at Sheffield United, but wasn't needed so much over the last couple of years. So it's great to see him playing again at Coventry, doing the job that he is. Of course, they're flying, and I've got no doubt from what I've seen that he has had such a hugely positive impact on them. And he is a goalkeeper that, of course, is used to winning games of football, is used to, also has experience of promotion. So a really good acquisition for Coventry. Delighted to see him doing so well. And this was an excellent save. Deflection back to his left, showed great agility to get down. Big firm hand, big clean sheet at Bramall Lane.
Wes Fotheringham was at the other end for Sheffield United. Now, this could be the chance of a run for the first time since the 2014-15 season in English football, that is. That was when he was with Swindon, because after the game, Slavisa Jokanović, the Blades boss, did say, "I had the sensation we were a little nervous, but that was not the case with Wes. He supported us in the moments when we needed him, and he said he's going to be in goal for the next few games. In football and in life, when somebody is out, it provides a chance for someone else." So it looks like Fotheringham could be in for a run in the side at the expense of Robin Olsen. After this as well, naturally, whenever Fotheringham plays, there always seems to be some reference to that spat he had with Di Canio, Paolo Di Canio. Do you remember that? I'd completely forgotten about that.
Yeah, it does ring a bell.
It was when he was really young at Swindon. He got dragged after like 20 minutes because he let a couple of goals in against Preston. And I was just looking at that incident. But a quiz question for you again, Richard, before we're nearly finished. Sorry, another quiz question is, when he was dragged in that game, who was the replacement that came on for him for Swindon?
That is a good question. Lawrence Figaro?
No. I'm going to give you one more guess.
Let me think. Who would have been his replacement back then? I don't know. Go on.
Great quiz question, this. I reckon only Swindon fans would know the answer. Lee Bedwell.
Okay, I would not have got that.
His one and only EFL appearance, I believe. So there you go. He got one game. And it was off the bench. Lee Bedwell, if you're listening, well done.
Great stuff. There you go.
On to League One, just quickly. Louis Jones in for his first start of the season and just his 14th league outing of his career. Good reactions from a Lasse Sorensen header for a clean sheet, which was also claimed by Josh Griffiths. Lincoln off the mark finally this season against the league's lowest scorers. So there you go. You've got to take it when you can get it. Ron Hoffman with a triple save from Bursant Salina and Macaulay Bon of Ipswich proved to be big as the Black Cats went on to win the game. Joel Dixon of Bolton denying Anis Mameti of Wickham from the spot. They lost, but always good to flag a penalty save. And Bailey Peacock-Farrell, a match-winning free kick save from Accrington's Harry Pell. It was 3-2 at the time.
Yeah, and that's the save that I want to highlight. Very good save. Again, going back to that comment that we made before about big saves, you know, big moments, being able to keep your head in those big moments and execute the skill effectively. And this ball is arrowing in the top corner, and certainly to get himself up there, get hands to it, to get it round the post. And as you mentioned, crucial save.
And a couple of bits of admin from League Two. Hokey Cokey keepers at Rochdale. Yet again, Jay Lynch back in with Joel Coleman dropping to the bench. And Kieran O'Hara on an emergency loan at Scunthorpe. Rory Watson out with a hamstring injury. A couple of good saves from him in their game against Mansfield. They did lose. However, it was the first time that he'd met everyone on the day, which is often the case with a lone goalkeeper, especially an emergency lone goalkeeper. But you do look at Scunthorpe and think they are lacking inexperienced goalkeeping options. They did have Mark Howard. He, of course, is now at Carlisle. But apart from that, it's Tom Collins, Tom Bilson and Jake Balm, all under 22.
Yeah, I was aware, actually, that we were looking for an emergency. It's been a tough time for Scunthorpe over the last couple of years, goalkeeping-wise. Lots of different goalkeepers, as you mentioned. And hopefully it'll be a nice platform for Kieran O'Hara. Been a little while since he's had a run of games, so good luck to him.
Okay, we do have a clean sheet club, but we're out of time, sadly. So anyone who's made it on, we're sorry. You're just going to have to keep a clean sheet next week so you can get on then. Richard, it's been nothing but a pleasure. I'll let you go back to enjoying your holiday / work. Thank you very much for your time.
Matthew, always a pleasure. Thank you.
This has been the Goalkeepers Union podcast between the sticks. Keepers.
Away.